Joining us right now on our KTAR Newsmaker line is Antar Davidson. And Antar himself worked at one of these facilities down in Tucson, Estrella del Norte, which is also run by Southwest Key. They have some 26 of these shelters for immigrant children around the country.
So thank you so much for joining us, Antar. Good morning to you.
Thank you, Bruce and Pam. It's an honor to be on and share my story with Arizona.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear your story. So you worked at this facility for a couple of months, and then you left. First, let's just start with taking us inside the facility. How many kids are there? How are they being treated? What did you see?
Inside the facility, there's between 280 and 300 kids. It's also staffed. There's a fair amount of staff. It's heavily understaffed, unfortunately, and there's a heavy burden placed on workers who are mostly making $15 an hour with no benefits. So it's a very disastrous combination of factors.
Antar, you and the other employees there, are there any specific backgrounds? Are these people with medical or therapy backgrounds? Who are the employees?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I mean, you do have a few here and there that were that have some sort of a background. However, they're in the same position as many people who are just happen to be, they're bilingual, but they have their experience. They're coming from construction jobs or from retail or restaurant jobs. So it's a mixed bag, but it's people. The majority are people that do not have the background and are basically doing the same job.
Okay. All right. So we're talking to Antar Davidson. He used to work at the Tucson shelter, Estrella del Norte, that is housing a lot of these children that are either coming across the border unaccompanied or whether they're being separated from their parents. Now, Antar is of Brazilian descent. He speaks Portuguese. And I want you to tell me about three Brazilian migrant children that arrived at the facility and what transpired with them, Antar?
Okay. Well, that was probably the most visceral point in my decision-making process to ultimately leave Southwest Key. It was three siblings, aged 16, a brother, 10, a sister, and 8, a younger brother, and they had been separated from their mother the night prior. At 2:30 in the morning, they left Texas. The facility they were in Texas arrived at our facility at 9:30 in the morning. They were showered, they began their medical intake process. However, they were never given the opportunity to sleep in a bed. In the afternoon, I was told that I had been translating for them, and then I was told to kind of supervise them in a classroom and show them movies. And they began asking me can they get a bed? They wanted to know if they could go to sleep. They hadn't slept all night. And to which I asked the shift leaders, they said no, that they couldn't do that. There wasn't the right supervision or whatever. And so I had to then sweep a place on the floor for these kids to sleep. And then later that night, when they were finally being put into rooms, the three siblings were put into three separate rooms, and they were being explained that in Spanish, which they don't speak. And so they understood that they would be separated again now from each other after having been separated from their mother, and they were clasping each other and crying. And so I was called over the radio to help translate, to tell them that they weren't allowed to hug. So they brought me over, and I came upon them and I said, bro, in Portuguese, bro, you have to be strong at this point in time. Like, I know this is a difficult situation, but your brother and sister need you. And he looked at me, and he had tears streaming his eyes, and he says, how? How can I be strong? Like, look at my sister. Like, look at my brother. Where's my mom? And then at that point, the shift leader came to me and very aggressively told me in Spanish, dicen que no pueden abrazar. Tell them that they can't hug. Tell them that they can't hug. And at that point, I told her, I'm sorry. As a human being, I'm not going to do that. And pretty much that was the catalyst to me realizing that despite the good that I was doing in the facility as a capoeira teacher and an English teacher and vocational teacher, I would be placed in situations where I would have to work against my morals. And so it was at that point that I resigned. I resigned a week a week after that.
We're speaking to Antar Davidson, and Antar is a former employee at one of these migrant shelters, specifically one down in Tucson. Again, the company Southwest Key operates some 26 of them across, I want to say it's four or five different states along the border. Now, and Antar, a horrible situation, and the way you describe it and the pain that those children felt, I'm not trying to discount it in any way, shape, or form. We saw last week that some journalists were allowed in one of the facilities in McAllen-Brownsville, and it was a larger one. I want to say it had nearly 1,500 kids in it. And while I can acknowledge they're being detained, I can acknowledge they're being held and they can't leave, it also didn't look like the worst place in the world. It looked like the staff was making every effort to take care of them. It was clean. It was relatively comfortable. Is there some balance in there? I mean, these kids are not being mistreated, are they?
Sure. Well, I would like to first present one opinion and then also add to it on the back end. This is obviously a very different situation because people are not being exterminated, but initially Hitler led press rounds in facilities and they said similar things. You have to realize this is a coordinated effort. They prepared for it. They invited them. And this is not, they're not seeing the data. You weren't, the media, when they were let in, weren't seeing the day to day.
Okay. They saw the best foot forward.
Oh, of course. And okay. The fact of the matter is this CEO, what he's doing is him and his wife clear almost $1.5 million in tax money. And that's not Trump's fault. I think this is since the Obama years. The funding for this program began in 2007, and they were getting $27 million. And now they're getting $300 plus million a year. So what he's doing
big
is
business.
Protecting a very lucrative business. I also want to add that in regards to a lot of people are making this issue seem that perhaps I'm coming out and I don't believe in border security. Listen, I live in Tucson. I'm 60 miles from the border. I feel like I'm aware of border security more than people would, you know what I mean? I'm a stone's throw away. The fact of the matter is, if we don't figure out a way to absorb and integrate people, they criminalize. The more we're making enemies, it's a simple fact of social interaction. The less people you make enemies of, the more secure you are. What we're doing now is we're taking people who are for the most part vulnerable. People who are not vulnerable or not desperate don't try to make this, you know what I mean? They cop on a plane or they get a new job. This is not something that comfortable people are doing. If we make these people enemies, we're essentially sending them right into the hands of the people who are apparently protecting from. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to realize this is very much about border security. And what that comes back to is these kids who are extremely traumatized need more than just a clean bed and a warm meal. These are people. These are kids that are being pushed into public schools. These places are reunification centers.
So, Antar, I want to get to I want to get to the kids aspect of it because there's a lot of politics involved, and I agree that we need to do something along the border. But back to the kids, because that's where you can give us a very unique perspective. And I want to know, in the couple of months that you worked there, do the kids entering this Tucson facility know what's going on?
No, that's the whole point, is that they basically, prior to this policy, you had the organization had been built around kind of a route, what was established as a migratory route of mostly kids from Guatemala. You had a fairly homogenous population who, for that reason, were more compliant. The kids that came from Guatemala had the laws had existed for the past 5 years. So they knew what to expect. They came, they were instructed before. Kids paid a guide and the guide took them and, you know, they were instructed they'll be in a facility for a while and they'll get their papers and get reunified. So those kids, for that reason, they knew what was happening. But the kids that started coming since that policy, they had no idea. I didn't really, at the time that I was working, I was not necessarily plugged into the news cycle because it's an extremely stressful job. So if I wasn't at work for those 8 hours a day, outside of that, I was just trying to relax and prepare for the next day. I have shared my experience based mostly on the shift that I personally was involved with and saw in the shelter as this policy was rolled out.
Speaking of, okay, if you could just hang on, we want to talk about kind of what changed in there and get a little bit more into the conditions inside one of these detention facilities for children. I want to say ages 10 through 17 is the age bracket. Specifically, we're talking to Antar Davidson, who worked at the Southwest Key facility in Tucson, Estrella del Norte, where there were some nearly 300 kids being held there. We're going to continue that conversation.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So on our KTR Newsmaker line right now is Antar Davidson. And Antar is a former employee of Southwest Key, which is a nonprofit that has the government contract to house migrant, immigrant youth, people picked up at the border, people attempting unaccompanied minors. Some of these kids have been separated from their parents. Obviously, the story everyone's talking about. And Antar, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I mentioned the age, and I want to say that was from the one in Brownsville, the Southwest Key, the facility there with some 1,500 kids aged 10 to 17. What was the age group of the children that you were working with at the Tucson facility? What is the age group?
We had kids from aged 4 and 5, all the way up to 17 officially. However, there was the occasional adult that would slip by. Mm-hmm. The children's detention facilities are much nicer than the adults. So, and also documents are easier to falsify in the countries of origin. So some people will pose as children, and they've caught people as old as 26 in facilities like this.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
well, people that have lied or have forged documents and claim they're younger than they are. But all the way down to age 4, because my guess is a 4-year-old needs much different care, supervision, or attention than a 16-year-old needs.
Particularly a traumatized one.
Oh, yeah.
So
Who's been separated from their parents,
Yep. Well, it's part of a triple threat of trauma. These kids are traumatized from where they're from. That's why they're leaving. They're traumatized on their journey. We all have heard stories of what happens on this journey. And then they're traumatized now at the border, and then traumatized even a fourth time at the facility, right? Because when you have a 4-year-old or you have a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or any child for the most part, if they are with their parents going through a dangerous situation, they get to a place and then they're taken from their parents and not told where they are for weeks. Which kid can imagine? Which kid could go through that? People are listening who are parents. Your kid probably might be scared of the dark.
Right.
The kids are scared of the dark. Now, so when you think about the effects, right, think about your kid if you don't get the nightlight on. Now think about your kid if you had crossed through countries, developing countries, and then came to a border and were arrested, put in jail, potentially, and your child now going through a reunification process, but who are they reunifying with?
Well,
they came with their parents. They didn't come necessarily as part of the reunification group.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And we're up against about a 2-minute deadline here, Antar.
Sure.
But my question is, while you were at this Tucson shelter where these children are being housed, how many instances did you see of children actually getting unified with their parents? And what kind of process was that like?
It happened fairly regularly. I could look through my prior emails, but you could feel it. There was a turn and a churning of students leaving and coming, not minors. And so there are caseworkers that work extremely diligently. I have to give credit where credit is due for Southwest Key. And there are the ones that are there. They're really working hard to. Under very difficult conditions, they're working hard to do these reunifications. However, if they're doing this because of that fact, it's of the utmost importance that these facilities adjust to these traumas for that reason specifically, because these kids, their ultimate destination are United States public schools.
Got it.
Wow.
Well, there's so much floating through my head right now, and I'm so thankful, Antar, that you could join us again. Antar Davidson, who worked inside one of these shelter facilities, specifically the one down in Tucson, nearly 300 kids, you heard them, age 4 up to 17, but sometimes adults sneaking in, lying about their age to be kept in these. We talk about the inside the facilities. One of the things floating around today is that some of them have chain link fences inside. They look like cages. I just mean aesthetically, physically. What did the inside of this facility look like? Can you compare it to something I could understand?
It's not necessarily that yet. here in Tucson, it's a converted student housing apartment, like a student housing apartment complex. Okay. It's close to the U of A. However, after the runaways that occurred at the end of May, they installed these large net mesh fences that you can actually see from the street, where they doubled the height of the fences. So they're starting to lock down more and change routes and cut off entryways. And so it's for all the ambiguity they give on whether or not the kids can leave, there's quite visible signs of, like, doubling down on this prison-like environment.